This is Coach Fran for the Texas State Bobcats, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on KTSW.
All right, welcome back to Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW 89.9, the other side of radio. Thanks to Coach Fran, as always, for welcoming us back from the 30 break. Oh, man, are you guys ready for football season?
Oh, yeah. It's been too long.
I mean,
think about it. Football season really pretty much ended in January and February, so it's been too long already.
Yeah, Cat Connor sitting there on the other side of the radio, like, guys, we just talked about football. No, wrong football. No. We're talking about the Coach Fran football, but whatever. We'll say that for another day. Texas State baseball, that was a bad joke. Terrible joke number one.
That's
check.
Okay.
Got
yeah.
it.
Okay.
That was almost just, not as bad as a dad joke, but it was pretty...
All right, guys.
Get some work done on that.
Texas State baseball, taking a look at the recent games. They fall last night to UTSA, the Dirty Birds, to score of 10-8. That was the last game of 2015 when it comes to the I-35 rivalry. And man, I hate to say it, but I think UTSA got the upper hand this year. Whenever you factor in all the sports that we kind of faced them this year, would you guys agree?
Maybe on paper, but it just seems like...
Well, okay.
I don't know. It seems like...
Paper. did we win a game against UTSA this year at all?
Yes, I called it. I called that game.
What sport?
It was on spring break against baseball.
Baseball? We won that game?
Yeah. Bobcat scored...
That's right. There was
Bobcat
like four home runs. Correct. Okay,
yeah,
we're
Bobcat
good then. No, we're good.
Seriously. Bobcat scored 7 runs in that in one inning in that game and absolutely torched it. I know, of course, you know, we talked about Cedric Valeriz had a great... Probably the biggest home run I've ever seen in person. It landed in the outfield in the softball field. I was just like, wow, and not even right field. We're talking like almost the softball wall. That thing, you know, we talk about moonshots and hitting the boomstick and, you know, the long ball, but that was, I definitely lost sight of it, and somebody told me later that's where it landed.
All right. Well,
So don't feel so bad. It's okay.
You were very quick to correct me. And I appreciate that, because I need correcting.
Well, sometimes it's not even that I'm drinking a maroon Kool-Aid here. It's just the fact that I'm just speaking truth. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, maybe we took 2 out of 3 for baseball. But, you know, if baseball was to play a fourth time, boom, it's 2-2 series. So as much as I don't like the Dirty Birds UTSA, I mean, I could tell funny stories all day. Like the time I drove by campus and a degree almost flew into the window, but I had to, you know, rolled up my windows just to, you know, keep those degrees out. But I'm surprised you're not laughing at that. That's usually my...
I'm sorry.
That's usually a good one. But, and Marissa, I hear you laughing over there. But anyway, it's not the end of the world. And I know if we can ever get the rivalry set in football and soccer, I know soccer absolutely is going to beat them to a pulp in the season opener this fall. So it ain't over yet.
Marissa, it's your turn for a terrible joke now. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Let's try and spare the few listeners that we've got left at this point. All right, taking a look at last night. Geisler falls to 2-1 on the season. He goes just 3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 6 runs, 4 of them earned runs. Struck out 5, however, in just 3 innings pitched. And on that note, I think that Geisler shows a lot of promise as a starter, you know, if you were given the chance. However... What I want to know from you guys, is he too valuable in the bullpen, or have we found enough bullpen guys to kind of give him the chance to be maybe that midweek starter?
I think it's still somewhat up and down. Of course, we mentioned like Montana Parsons and other pitchers who help relieve him, but there's still a chance for him that he can be impactful on the mound. And of course, he had a rough start in the beginning in the first couple of things that, you know, he just struggled, and of course Coach Fikoch was just trying to get his mojo going, trying to get something going for him to really get himself to find his rhythm, and unfortunately he just couldn't. But still, that the Bobcats made up for offensively to help him, you know, he's given a little boost of confidence, and but also other players stepped up as well, and it was just that fact that he's still kind of finding himself, like, not only during midweek, but it's been an up-and-down season for him, but as he's finding his rhythm and getting himself, you know, in a role, in a rhythm, he's been able to really produce out on the mound.
Yeah, well, last night, we don't see Montana Parsons at all, you know, and it's something to where, okay, we stated this, Humple is easily game one, Grist easily game two, Hallenquist has you know, found his spot game three. However, the midweek games...
Geisler and Montana Parsons.
Maybe.
That's all
yeah.
you need.
Well, okay, and here's my question. Is Geisler a talented talented enough guy to be a starter in the midweek games and then be the closer in the other games. You know, because they're completely different mentalities. They really are.
You can, but the problem is you don't want his arm to fall off at the end of the season in the postseason because he's pitched so many innings. So that's where you're going to have to rely a little bit on some of your other pitchers, and like Blake Winter to be one of your closers, and to maybe not necessarily rely on the same person all the time to close games.
All right, well, Pasquale Mazzucchelli and Tyler Giovinoni doing work last night in the back half of the bullpen. However, the Bobcats, once again, do lose to UTSA to a score of 10-8. Now, upcoming, however, once again, that's in the past. Let's just get past out of the way.
Hakuna Matata.
Coming up this weekend, Louisiana Lafayette, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the matchup that we have been waiting for all season long. Right now, they're not the team. They're not a number one team. You know, they're a team that obviously they've still got a ton of talent. But they're struggling a little bit this year.
That's a good thing though.
Yeah, I mean I agree.
If you're a Bobcat fan, that's a good thing. And you're like, okay, well, hey, you know, if you're struggling, that's okay. You know, everybody likes to play at full strength, but sometimes if they're not playing well, Bobcats just might as well take advantage of it while you're there. Definitely not show them any pity or mercy.
Right, they are at home, and it's a great time not only just to compete against a team like a UL Lafayette that's, you know, unfortunately is having somewhat of a down year, but fortunately.
Did you say unfortunately?
But fortunately for us, we've been able to not only to take advantage of it, but also to prove that, you know, at home we can be able to close out those home weekend games, and that can give us a nice kickstart heading into the Sun Belt tournament.
All right, once again, Louisiana Lafayette will face the Bobcats here at Bobcat Ballpark this weekend, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can catch all three of those games right here on KTSW 89.9, the other side of radio. And taking a quick look at some of the Sun Belt Conference headlines, University of Arkansas Little Rock, a team that the Bobcats just faced last week, they take down number 14 Missouri. With a score of 4-3 on Tuesday afternoon. They played Georgia Southern this weekend. Always fun to see Sun Belt Conference taking down ranked teams. I love that.
Right? Especially in the NCAA tournament we saw this year. That was great.
However, UTA, my apologies, does not take down the ranked opponent. They faced number 6 TCU last night. They lose to that, or they lose to the Horned Frogs. They'll be facing Troy for a three-game series this weekend. Louisiana Lafayette, who, as we said, the Bobcats will face this weekend, had a 6-game winning streak heading into last night's game against Southeastern Louisiana. That's gone as the Raging Cajuns lose 5-3. And I tell you what, I had to do the Monday show of Bobcat Radio, and the one thing that we said was, it would be great if that 6-game winning streak does not turn into a 7-game winning streak. You know, and that momentum is halted a little bit, and that might have happened last night thanks to Southeastern Louisiana. And lastly, Troy falls to Sanford in a 13-2 beating as the Trojans, who they're now just 1-8 in the midweek this season. They're terrible in the midweek. That's just like I don't know. There's not a better word other than terrible.
That's a good thing though. I mean, that at least halts their momentum. Yeah. You know, Texas State faces them in a weekend series. You know that they're not coming in with any momentum when they face off. So, oh well.
All right. Taking a look at the Sun Belt Conference standings, and then after we go over the standings, I want to hear from you guys who kind of who y'all expect to see in the postseason, and who y'all want to see in the postseason. But right now, taking a look at the standings, it's Georgia State at the top. They're 22-15 on the year, 11-3 in the Sun Belt Conference. South Alabama and Georgia Southern are tied at 11-7 in conference play. Then Troy, who is 20-18, 9-6 in Sun Belt Conference play, despite the 1-8 midweek games. And then Texas State at 17-18-1 on the season, 9-6 in conference. And then UALR, Louisiana Lafayette, UTA, ULM, Arkansas State, Appalachian State finish out the Sun Belt Conference in that order. But real quick, Louisiana Lafayette, they're 8-6 in conference play. The Bobcats are 9-6 in conference play. It's one of these things that, it can turn on a dime, right?
Exactly. It's been up and down, especially those top three spots, and right now we're sitting tied there with Troy, and that's just that up and down level of the competition that we have in the Sun Belt Conference, that across the board, whether it's a down season for one team or an uphill great season for, of course, us and other teams, that it just raises that competition level to new heights, and it just not only speaks of the conference itself, but also the players and the quality of the recruiting that that's going on across the board for the conferences. And for teams such as a Troy or South Alabama, of course, with those high-level competition, it just sets a tone for Texas State to not only elevate their game, but also a chance for them to really get those quality key wins in crucial moments, especially when it's getting toward late in the season. You only have, you know, less than teams left, and it's just, you know, it's just time for them to not only kick it up a notch, but also turn up the heat.
And Texas State, you know, obviously, this is just stating the obvious here, you know, needs to get hot. You know, we've seen the softball team can do this, and it's time for baseball to answer the call, and they've done a good job this year, not necessarily being a 500 club, but or keeping their head above water, but they have, you know, for a while there, they were sitting in first place, I know, for a couple games there in the Sun Belt Conference, so now it's time to go back to that mentality that they had earlier in the season and to make sure that every Sun Belt Conference game that they play, they need to play it like their last. And they usually do, and so there's nothing to worry about there. But this is the time where they need to start stacking up wins. And they can do so this weekend if they play their brand of baseball that we've seen them play throughout the season, really, especially early on.
All right, continuing with the college baseball track, taking a look at the top 25, Texas A&M still at number one. In everything, really. Everything baseball, I'll say that. LSU sits just behind them. Then TCU falls number eight. And that's all the Texas teams left. I know a couple weeks ago we talked about it, and there's like six Texas teams, you know, that were still in the top 25. There's just two now. And it's falling, you know, to a point to where if TCU loses a couple more games, they could very well, yeah, just be completely out of the top 25 right there. Now, moving on to a couple other Texas State sports. Women's golf is playing at the Sun Belt Conference Tournament this week in Loxley, Alabama. However, not a whole lot of play going on as of yet. The rain has halted the tournament for the second straight day in a row, or it did yesterday, however. The Bobcats sit just two shots off the lead. They'll try and play more today, and I know that round one has already been over with. They're in the midst of round two, so we might be able to get a little bit of update of where the Bobcats sit in the Sun Belt tournament. And, of course, tomorrow the Texas State women's tennis team will play in their Sun Belt Conference tournament in New Orleans, Louisiana. All right. So that is all of the Texas State athletics that we got going on at the moment. And it's time for Colin, your favorite thing in the world to talk about. Let's go
okay,
to NBA.
That's not fair. You're calling me out loving the NBA, but it's not football season. So got to have something to do in between then. To be honest, the listeners out there, I honestly used to not like basketball. I obviously can't play it and was never really good at it. And I'm not necessarily the slowest person in the world, as my fellow intramural softball teammates have seen, that I can turn on the burners. But
well, no.
I mean, I've hit like three infield singles and never got thrown out. So I'll take that as a win, batting 1,000 in the infield. Anyway, I don't pop up. So that's a good thing, Caleb, looking at you. But, yeah, going to my favorite thing currently until the draft starts for the NFL and football season starts in August is the NBA. Right now, lots going on. You know, today and tomorrow are pretty much the last days of the NBA regular season. And a lot is still up in the air. A lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, of course, don't really have a lot of nice things to say about the Eastern Conference because they're terrible. But
okay.
You got some. Well, seriously,
the entire conference?
No, not the entire conference. Just half of it.
Okay.
I mean, half of the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, I think seven, like two or three teams have losing records. Come on, this isn't the Big 12.
Yeah,
get out of here with that.
Real quick, I'm with you that if you have less than a 500 record, first of all, that, like, okay, for, either you need to limit the amount of playoff teams. Or, I don't know, something needs to change. Yeah, there cannot be 500 teams in playoffs. That's unbelievable to me.
I agree, and it gives teams like whatever team LeBron James is on this year, it gives him a free walk to the NBA Finals, while teams in the West have to absolutely gut it out, you know, Game of Thrones style, to get to the Finals. I'm like, that's not fair. Give everybody a chance to play equal teams, and then we'll see who's the greatest.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, there have been a lot of talks of, you know, realignment and who should be cutting off and all these, you know, let's move this team here, let's move this team there. And although that's a could be a great idea, but at the same time, it just goes back to the players on the team. You can move around any team that you want, but the players on the team are not be able to compete at the same level, of course, you know, as, of course, the Western Conference. It still doesn't serve a purpose to move those teams. So, as you see, it's complete opposite of playoff pictures that, you know, it's great for the weak East Conference for them to be able to make the playoffs because that's just, you know, ooh, we're fighting for our lives. But in the West, it's a completely different story. It's night and day. And really, of course, you know, the West lighting it up all the time, and it's just a close race down the stretch.
You know, you bring up a good point that, you know, the West has to fight it out. But, you know, even today, there are still some seeds. Like, for example, my beloved San Antonio Spurs, they're playing the Pelicans tonight. And really, this is very interesting because if the Pelicans lose, the Spurs win, Spurs get the number two seed. Whoever thought that was going to happen, I didn't. I'll be honest. And so if they win, they get the number two seed. When a month ago, they had the seventh seed, and everybody was writing them off because they're calling them too old. And then they just exploded, and the rest of the NBA is probably nervous. That being said, you have the Pelicans who are like six or seven games above 500, might not make the playoffs if the Spurs win tonight down in New Orleans. And then, of course, the Thunder, who have an equal record, could get into the playoffs. Really, it's whichever team wins their game tonight is going to get in. Which is interesting because they're both good teams and they would easily be six or seven seeds in the East. So this brings up my discussion question. Do you turn this into something like the NCAA tournament where you get the 16 best teams in the NBA and give them a seeding 1 through 16?
I don't know. I understand what you're saying about how the Western Conference is you know, powerful. However, there's a time where the Los Angeles Lakers were a very powerful team.
Yeah, there was a time.
They're not, you know what I mean? They're not anymore. What I'm saying is teams change regardless of where they're at. It's going to happen. There are going to be teams that are really good one year that are not the next. That's just going to happen, you know, and it's going to, I don't know. Just it's going to happen wherever you're at. So there's no real point to me in like changing up too many things. You know what I mean? I think that this year in general, it just happens to be where, yeah, there's a stacked Western Conference. But at the same time, if you love basketball, that's exciting basketball, and that's exactly what you want, you know? All right, at the moment, Houston would face Portland. San Antonio would face Memphis, and Dallas would face the Clippers, you know, if the season were to end right now. Of course, you said there's a lot of things that could change. Taking a look at that lineup, I think it's going to be Golden State and San Antonio in the Western Conference. But Spurs fans, I just got to say, I think that's as far as your season's going to go.
I definitely think it's going to go, no matter what, it's going to be a six-game series, 4-2 for either team. But to be honest, I'm kind of craving a game seven just sometime in that series. I don't know. It just depends on who shows up because obviously Golden State will show up. They, you know, great squad. But if San Antonio keeps playing like they do or like they did against Golden State when they visited San Antonio and blew them out, who knows? It really depends on who shows up and who wants it more because the both teams are very, very good. To me, that series, if it happens, that's the real NBA Finals.
All right, guys, that right there, our segment on NBA, and that leads us right up to the 50 break. Once again, you're listening to Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW 89.9. But before we get to the 50 break, Colin, what do you have for us, man?
Well, of course, I was talking about at our 10 break about Mr. Fest, which is KTSW's big-time music festival next weekend, Friday and Saturday, April 24th and 25th. And, of course, that's in downtown San Marcos. And that's provided by the Texas Music Water. Texas Music Water, of course, donates a portion of their proceeds to help musicians and music students throughout Texas. And, of course, for more information on that, you can visit TexasMusicWater.com. And, once again, that's Texas Music Water, one of our local supporters for KTSW's Mr. Fest. Next weekend, April 24th and 25th.
All right, guys, keep it right here for the final 10 minutes of this week's episode of Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW 89.9.